Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
It's good to be with you all again, sharing together here last year for a couple of weeks and have incredibly fond memories. Ellie, great job on the song, wherever you are. Great job on the song today. Yeah, give her a hand. Let her know you appreciate her work. Awesome. Awesome. Well, and many of you might remember, or maybe not, that I am a representative for Pioneer Bible Translators, organization. We're translating scripture around the world. We are killing it, as they say. God is doing amazing, amazing work for us as we're on target to begin the last language translation of the Gospels in the last language necessary in the world by 2025. So that's amazing. In our lifetime, it's very possible that we could have the Bible translated into every language, every tongue of every nation. And that's worth praise. That's worth joy. And so, yeah, that's great. So we're working together with 11 largest translation organizations to get that done. I'm going to invite you to be a part of that. In fact, my wife is going to be down there because you'd rather talk to her than talk to me anyway. After the service, if you'd like to say, hey, how can I be a part of that? For $35, you can translate a verse of scripture. She's going to have some information for you, and you can take part in that as we share together. Now, I have a little verse or a little video that I'd like to show you that kind of explains what we do. So watch the screen with me, would you?
This is what the Bible looks like for more than 1,800 language groups. How can this be? Nearly five centuries ago, William Tyndale translated the Bible from Greek and Hebrew into English. Today, there are over 100 English language Bible translations. We have more materials to study God's Word than any of us will ever be able to read in a lifetime. The church today has more people, knowledge, opportunity, and resources than ever. But right now, there are still 180 million people without a single word of scripture in their heart language. No scripture, let alone commentaries, books, or study materials. Shouldn't we share what we have with those who have nothing? Have we forgotten the last thing Jesus asked us to do? Jesus gave us the responsibility to make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything he has commanded. How can they truly follow Jesus without the Word of God?
True, so. We all have lots of Bibles on our shelves. Imagine not having the Word of God available to you. Well, in the last several years, we have translated and begun translating for over 2,000 different languages of that list. So we're down now to about 16,000 or 1,600 languages, but we're moving forward and we can do so with your help. Now, I've got some good news for you, First Christian Church here in Pittsfield. Would you like good news? Everybody, you know, you say, I've got some good news and some bad news. I don't have any bad news for you today, okay? I only have good news for you, and that is God loves Pittsfield Christian Church. He loves you passionately. He looks at you like a loving groom looks at his bride, longing in his heart. He sees you as absolutely beautiful. He sees you as absolutely precious in his sight. He is desperately in love with you. Is that good news? He is desperate in love with you. And he knows every person, and he still loves you anyway. Every one of you. He knows every problem that you're going through. He weeps when you weep. He laughs when you laugh. He sees you as the hope of this community. He's called you to be the hope for this city. He understands that you are the potential for this country, this continent, this world. God has called you that. Jesus said, remember all the miracles I did? You can do even more than these. In John chapter 14, verse 12, the scripture says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will even do greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. The Apostle Paul says, we have unlimited power. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that has worked within us, to him be the glory in the church in Christ Jesus throughout generations forever and ever. Amen. Jesus said, not even the devil and hell is stronger than this church. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he says, I tell you the truth that you are Peter. You are the stone, and it's upon this rock, this boulder, that I will build my church, the rock of your confession, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus said that your mission, First Christian Church Pittsfield's mission, is unlimited and it's worldwide. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the scripture says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the, what? Ends of the earth. That's our charge. That's our command. Now, I could go on and on and on, but I want you to know that you are a winner and you're on the winning team. It makes all the difference in the world to know that the battle's been won and we're winners. Every one of us. We are the victors. And everybody wants to be a part of a winner. So if this is how God feels about us, what kind of church do we need to be to live up to this calling? Now, I hope you have your outlines there from the worship folders, because I'm going to have you fill in some lines if you remember from last year. So get your pens or your pencils ready. You may want to grab one of those if you don't have one. And let's talk about what God wants this church to be. What God wants this church to be. And the first thing that he wants you to be is he wants you to be a surrendered church. He wants you to be a surrendered church. Waiting for you there, Bob. Got one more. There you go. He wants you to be a surrendered church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1, that Kayla read for us earlier, Paul says, Paul and Silas and Timothy to the church of Thessalonians, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. Now the word church means the called out ones. Literally, we are called out of the world and called into God's kingdom and into Christ. For the Thessalonians, it was Jesus was first and everything, as it should be for us. It's all about Jesus. It's not about us. It's a surrendered church. For Thessalonians, it was Jesus first and then everything else. As children, as a kid growing up in a faithful family that worshiped church, I used to play church. When our friends would get together, we would play church. One of us would be the preacher. And my brother would always take up the offering. We never saw it after that, so I don't know what that meant. But we always played church and we had a good time because it was fun to play church. But the problem is there are a lot of people still playing church. They're just going through the motions, but it has no heart, it has no meaning, it has no power in their life. Galatians 2:20 is one of my life verses. The apostle says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. He surrendered for me. And asked me to surrender for him. Does that make sense to you? So the first thing that we can be to be the church God wants us to be is to be a surrendered church. That's the critical part. You see, it's not the ship in the water, but the water in the ship that makes it sink. Say that again. It's not the ship in the water, it's the water in the ship that makes it sink. And it's not the Christian in the world, but the world in the Christian that makes us sink and hinders our witness. So for Pittsfield First Christian to be what God wants, that powerful dynamic, it must be a surrendered church. Second of all, it must be a serving church. It must be a serving church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, the apostle writes, We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. we continually remember before our God and Father your work. Now circle the word work there if you're a note taker. The word is ergon. It's the word we get energy from. The energy produced by faith. Your labor. Circle the word labor. The word there is kopos. It means labor to the point of exhaustion. You know what it's like after a day when you've worked hard and you're just exhausted. You can't wait to grab dinner, take a shower, and get in bed. That's what he's talking about. Kopos is labor to the point of exhaustion. And your labor prompted by love. And your endurance, hupomene, is the Greek word. It means to stay until the job is absolutely completed. Don't stop halfway. You stay until the job is completed, inspired by the hope of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, listen, your work of faith, your labor of love, and your endurance by hope. Everyone had a job to do. They recognized that. You see, the world measures a person's greatness by the number of people who serve him. But heaven's measure for greatness is the number of people who are served by him. And that's a completely different position than what the world says. The world's all about people serving you. The Christians should be all about serving other people. Remember Jesus in the upper room? And as the men came in one by one, Jesus knelt down with a towel and a basin and washed their feet. They were humbled by that. And once he finished washing their feet, you realize he also washed Judas's feet, the one who was going to betray him? And as Jesus was done, he put things away. And then he said, now listen, now that I, as your Lord and Savior, have served you, washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. The logic is, now that I've washed your feet, you should wash my feet. But Jesus said, no, you need to wash one another's feet. A serving church is what God desires First Christian Church to be. It needs to be a happy, effective, serving church. The third thing that Paul tells us here in 1 Thessalonians is that we must be a spirit-filled church. A spirit-filled church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with the power. So the word power. The Greek word there for power is the word dunamis. We get the word dynamite from it. Think of a dynamite power. You know the power of that. Our word came to you, and it was a dynamite with the Holy Spirit and with deep conviction. Pleromophia means the fullness, an absolute fullness. Unfortunately, in our church, we've been afraid of the Holy Spirit. No. We talk about it. We even sang a song about it. But we really don't let it become a part of us. We really don't live life in the Spirit very well. In fact, someone asked me a question one time, and I thought it was piercing. If God removed the Holy Spirit from your life, would we notice it? If God removed the Holy Spirit from First Christian Church in Pittsfield, would it make a difference? Would you notice anything different if the third person of the Trinity is not here in this place? Maybe we should continually be asking, since we are filled with the unstoppable power of the Holy Spirit, what can we do and what should we do in our lives as we dedicate them to them? See, God loves this church, and his design for this church is that we would be a surrender church, a serving church, a spirit-filled church, and number four, a steadfast church. A steadfast church. I know you are. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, Paul says, you know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us. In spite, circle that, in spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so he became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Now notice he says, in spite of severe suffering. Brothers and sisters, I know that Pastor Michael shared this with you before, but in the days ahead, living in a post-Christian world, which we are, we may be facing more and more opposition and oppression. Maybe there is a little bad news in here. The world that we live in, since it is post-Christian, and I know even right here in Pittsfield, that we are going to face more opposition and more oppression. If anybody told you that being a Christian was going to be an easy life, they lied. It's a challenge, and going to increasingly be so. Jesus said in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you may have trouble. Is that what it says? In this world it's possible that you could have trouble. Is that what it says? It says, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It's being a Christian is wonderful. It's fulfilling. It's satisfying. It's exciting. It's challenging. But it's not easy. Many of you know from my visit here last year that some 20 years ago, we had a son who passed away. His name was Jeremy. Jeremy was born with a genetic disorder called hemophilia, which meant that his blood didn't clot. And so we knew immediately after he was born that we were going to have a lifetime of medical care to give to him. What we didn't know is that somewhere along the line that he would, because of the constant infusions and transfusions of blood product, that he would be infected with HIV, and eventually he would die in 1996 from AIDS, even though he was an innocent victim of such things. But he taught us much in his life. He loved the Lord with all of his heart. No, I'll see him again in heaven. That's the joy. But just a couple of years, maybe a year and a half, before he actually passed away, he was going through a rough patch with his health. And something got into him, new medicines, whatever, but he just was hit by wave and wave and wave of nauseousness. He just couldn't, anytime he moved, he just, and he was emaciated already because of his illness, but he would go to the toilet and hold on to the toilet with both hands, and he would just retch. And you could see every fiber, every muscle in his body was tensed, and from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head, he was trying to get something out, but there was nothing there anymore. And then he would lay down on the tile floor beside the toilet and lay there, because if he moved, it would come with another wave of nauseousness. And when it came, he'd get back up and do it again. And he did that all day long, friends. You know the pressure of watching your own child do that. And at one point, he looked at his mother, and he said, "Mom, I don't know how anyone who doesn't know Jesus could get through this." Jesus with his strength, an incredible trial. And that's what God asks us to do. 1 Corinthians 15:58, the apostle says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." A steadfast church. God wants First Christian Church of Pittsfield to be a steadfast church. And then number five, God's desire for this church that he loves is that you would be a soul-winning church. A soul-winning church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, the apostle says this, "The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we don't need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception gave to us." Remember, folks, that the mission of God's church is to help people find and follow Jesus. We can do a lot of things, slide down a lot of water slides, but the message and the reason for that is to help people find and follow Jesus. Let's keep the main thing of the call of Christ the main thing. And notice how they did this. The scripture tells us they used their mouths. They used their mouth. The Lord's message rang out from you. They talked about Jesus wherever they went. They spoke of him. They spoke of his salvation. They spoke the peace that he gives. They told what their life was like before they met Jesus and how they met Jesus. And they told what their life is like now. It rang out from them. In fact, the word "rang" is a word that was used by the town crier the day before people had watches or clocks. Someone would go around the town and he would say, and you've seen it in the movies, you know, "It's 12 o'clock and all is well." It's like when you call to your neighbor in the yard across the street and you don't use a whisper voice. You let everybody know as you say hello to them. That's the voice that is used as you rang out the message of Christ. And the Bible says not only do they use their mouths, they use their lives. It said your faith in God has been known everywhere. They heard it and they saw it and made a difference. I have a nephew-in-law who's a pastor of a church in Las Vegas, California, or Las Vegas, Nevada. Hard to think of a church there, but it's a large and growing church. And Patrick wrote recently a story that he and a couple of friends were at a Starbucks coffee shop where he goes all the time. And they were talking about planning a men's retreat for their church. And they were talking and laughing and having a good time. And they noticed that there was a lady sitting at the table next to him. Was very curious. At one point, she leaned over. Her name was Jennifer. And she said, are you talking about a church? And they said, yes. She said, are you Christians? Yes, we are. And so they started telling her about their church, Hope Church. And when they finished, they said, tell us a little about you. And she said, well, I just moved here from Chicago. I don't know why I felt like God wanted me to move here. And I don't know anybody. I don't know any church. I don't know anything about that. So they started talking with her, and they invited her to come to their church that next Sunday. And sure enough, she showed up, and Patrick saw her. She began to cry when she saw him. She said, now I found my family. Now I found my church. Listen, brothers and sisters, somebody is always watching. Somebody is always listening. So use your mouth to let the message ring out, and use your lives to shine brightly for Jesus. Let me ask you a question. How many people are going to be in heaven because of you? How many people are going to find eternal salvation because of you? First Christian Church, to be the church that God wants you to be, growing and thriving, it must be a soul-winning church. And then number six, God wants First Christian Pittsfield to be a second coming church. A second coming church. Always look up. Always expect Jesus to come. Every time you hear a trumpet sound, you should be looking up, not looking out. Because it may be the time when Jesus comes. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, therefore, they tell how you turn from God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. One glorious day, Jesus is coming. Can't be too soon for me. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the same book, Paul says this, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, now look up here for a minute. Anytime you read the word therefore in your Bible, you need to stop and see what it's there for. Got that? So if you see therefore, stop, because he's making a transition, a point. And he says, therefore, encourage each other with these words. I had a professor in Ozark Christian College who used to say, perhaps today. Oh, what a day that will be. For First Christian Church in Pittsfield to be what God wants, this exciting, expecting church, it must be a second coming church that has perhaps today on its lips. So what does God want this church to be? This church that he loves, this church he cares about, that he died for. What does he want? Well, he wants you to be a surrendered church. He wants you to be a serving church. He wants you to be a steadfast church. He wants you to be a spirit-filled church. He wants you to be a soul-winning church. And he wants you to be a second coming church. When I was a kid growing up in church, not that much different than this one, we used to do a thing in Sunday school. Some of you might remember this. Some of you would be new to you. But before, or as we ended our Sunday school class, the teacher would say, okay, boys and girls, put your fingers together. So do this with me, would you? Put your fingers, only interlock your fingers downwards, not upwards, okay? They would put their fingers, we'd put our fingers together. Everybody do it with me, okay? Unless your arthritis forbids you from doing it. You can do this with me, all right? And the teacher would say, here's the church. Here's the steeple. You know this? Open the doors and see all the people. All right, one more time. Here we go. Everybody, all you kids, join me here. Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Well, one Sunday, the family was coming to church, and they went to say, we have a little daughter who would like to come to your Sunday school class. Is that okay? And the man said, yes, you're welcome to come. So they took her to the age group door where they were teaching the lessons and knocked on the door, and the teacher came in, and she said, this is Joni, and she would like to come into your service. She was 4 years old. And the teacher reached out her hand to take her hand, and she realized she didn't have a hand. As a result of birth defect or accident, and her right hand is just a stump at the elbow. And so, not wanting to embarrass this little girl, when they sat down to do the lessons, when it came time for her to cut out things, she would go over and turn the page so the little girl could cut. And when it came to color things, she would put her hand on the page so she didn't have to ask for help to do so, or put her little stump up there and color the page. And she took so much time making sure this little girl was not embarrassed, because you know, kids point out differences. They're not mean. They just notice things and point out differences. She worked so hard that she didn't watch her time, and all of a sudden, she realized that the buzzer rang and it was time for them to be done with class. And so she said, "Oh, boys and girls, we ran late today. Everybody push your things to the middle of the table, and everyone put your hands together, and let's make the church, and let's make the steeple." And she stopped dead in her tracks, because she realized in her haste to not embarrass this little girl, she'd brought her to the pinnacle of embarrassment. She didn't know what to say. When all of a sudden the little girl sitting next to little Joni said, "It's okay, teacher. I'll use my good hand, and she can use her good hand, and we'll build God's church together." Brothers and sisters, that's what God wants First Christian Church of Pittsfield to be. So what will you decide? That's my prayer. Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much for your truth in Scripture. I thank you, Father, for the power of that. I pray that you'd continue to bless us, that we would realize what you want us to be, and that we would live that out in our faith forever. I pray that you would bless each person as they focus their thoughts and times, and use this template as an evaluation of how are we doing? More importantly, how am I doing? And God, that this place would be made different, this town would be made different, this community would be made different by the efforts of this church that you love so much that you would die for, and that we must be to bring your glory. Thank you, God, for blessing us, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all this morning.
All right, if you will turn in your red hymnals or look up on the screen, we're going to sing Churches One Foundation. We're going to do verses 1 and 2. All right, Libby's going to play, and I sprung this on her, so she's so awesome to do this. Let's stand as we sing our closing song for today. Blessed week in Christ. Amen. You are dismissed.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org, or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.